Yes, Father, we quiet our hearts before you, Lord. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, let your peace rest upon this house, upon this gathering, upon these dear brothers and sisters, friends, neighbors, all that have come today, Lord. May your peace rule and reign in each of our hearts, Lord. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Thank you that you are here. We welcome you. I trust we can all give you a welcome into our hearts, Lord, to speak to us, to commune and fellowship with us, Lord. Father, we've been so blessed in the service already. The precious and exceeding great promises that are to us for who believe. We've been so blessed in the hymns, Lord. Our Lord Jesus, this sinner woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Father, we just do ask for your blessing, Lord. I am nothing, Lord. I have no power to work out any effectual grace or change, but oh Lord, thy word is quick and powerful. Your Holy Spirit is quick and powerful, Lord. So we ask you, Lord, in your mercy, be gracious unto us now in this part of the service also, and bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I was just so ministered to in the hymns this morning. Neither do I condemn thee, said the Lord Jesus to this sinner woman. Go. Go. Sin no more. Spoke to my own heart about which side am I on? What's my heart posture? Where do I most easily identify with? The condemners or with my Lord Jesus? Neither do I condemn thee. Go, sin no more. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Whom the Lord Jesus washes is washed. Hallelujah. This morning we have opportunity to hold in our hands a very precious book, the Holy Scriptures of the Bible. And I say that because I need to remind myself, this book is outlawed in many lands. Many kings tremble at this book and they ban it from their country. Why? Because the words of this book are words of life and words of grace and truth that can change a people's heart. And as people's hearts get changed, it will change a nation. So they try to keep God out. Oh, but hallelujah. God isn't limited by kings and rulers. We know that there are believers in North Korea. We know there are believers, multitudes in China. Large communist countries who want to ban God out of their lives and their people. I wonder this morning, who has a Bible with them this morning? Let's raise it high. Praise God, we have a Bible. We are blessed this morning. May we never forget it. May I always treasure it. Like that man who gets a little handwritten copy of just John chapter 15. And he pours over it and over it, and his life is changed by it. While I have many copies, and they lay there, and we pick up other things rather than the Holy Book. Oh God, help us, Lord. Awaken us to this treasure and to the power of the Gospel and of the Word of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad this morning that I don't have to preach myself. It would be utterly useless and hopeless. But I get to preach Christ this morning. And I get to preach His Word. And that is an honor and a privilege and a blessing. And I don't take it lightly. Let us open our Bibles to John chapter 14. Let us gather around our Lord Jesus as He's sitting with His disciples and He's giving them some last words, and He's sharing His heart with His disciples. You know, everything's quiet now. It's all red letter now. If you have the Jesus words in red letter in your Bible. There's no more vying for a position of who's going to be the greatest. Jesus has washed their feet. Everything's quiet now. And He's sharing with them some last words before He goes to the cross. He knows He's going to the cross. They don't for sure grasp it yet. He's revealing it to them. And He's sharing with them some vital last words. Jesus' last words to His disciples. I'm going to continue there. John 14, verse 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto My Father. Verily I say unto you, truly I say unto you, surely, assuredly I tell you, disciples, the work that I've been doing, ye shall do also. He that believeth on Me, works that I do shall he do also. He whose faith is securely anchored in Jesus Christ, he who relies upon the Lord Jesus Christ and trusts Him, and all of his confidence is in Him, and his faith is resting there, that man, that woman whose faith is anchored in Jesus Christ, the works that I do, she shall do also. The deeds that I have done, she shall do also. He shall do them also. Many times we stumble at and greater works. Well, we'll look at that in a little bit. But He says, the works that I do shall ye do also. What was Jesus' mission? What was His work? Help me. Help me. What is Jesus' mission? What was His work while He walked for 3.5 years in His ministry upon the earth? What was His work? To seek and save the lost. To save souls. What else was His work? What did He do? He came to show us the Father. Yes. If you have seen Me, the Lord Jesus said, you have seen the Father. Jesus said, the works that I do shall ye do also. I think of the description of the prophecy of Isaiah upon our Lord Jesus, where He said, and then Jesus stood to read in the synagogue. and said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Ah, yes, the works that I do shall ye do also, brother, sister. Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The works that I do shall ye do also. Ye shall go forth and minister grace to the brokenhearted, healing to the brokenhearted." Preach deliverance to the captives. Are there any captives today? There are many captives. Captive in sin, bound in chains of iniquity and sin, enslaved to the flesh. Who will tell them, "The Deliverer has come," and bring the good news of the gospel? "The works that I do shall ye do also." Recovering of sight to the blind. Many walk about in darkness, groping in darkness. Their eyes are blinded. The God of this world has blinded their eyes, lest they should believe and should be converted. And the God of this world is using all the media, the television, the movies, the computer, you know, all of these things, and all of the allurement of the world, you know, the movie houses, the theaters, the plays, and everything that's going on. The God of this world has blinded the eyes of many, multitudes in darkness and blindness of eyes. "Ah, the works that I do shall ye do also, brethren." The recovering of sight to the blind. Hallelujah, the amazing grace. Once I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah, because Jesus Christ has set me free. "The works that I do shall ye do also, brethren and sisters. Set at liberty them that are bruised." Many bruised, those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden and crushed. The devil promises pleasure. Yes, sin is pleasurable for a season, but it's a very short season. And he brings souls into bondage and into enslavement of sin, ensnared. And then they become crushed and downtrodden and broken. "The works that I do," said the Lord Jesus, "ye shall do also. Because I'm going to leave you. I go to my Father." Disciples, "The works that I do shall ye do also." That really challenges my own heart. Does my heart beat to preach the gospel to the poor? Do I have time for the brokenhearted, the down and outers, the captives, the blind? Because those people are not very lovable in that state, are they? Many times they're not very lovable. And we have to get past our carnal, natural flesh and mind set to reach out and to love those people and do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus' mission, "The works that I do shall ye do also." Anyone else want to share another work of the Lord Jesus as you've been pondering it and considering it? Just call it out. "Heal the sick and bind up the brokenhearted." Amen.
"To destroy the works of the devil."
To destroy the works of the devil. Amen. That is why Jesus came. To destroy the works of the devil. And to let the prison house doors be opened. And let the loose the prisoners. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Emmanuel. To show forgiveness, such as that sinner woman who they brought before the Lord. Timothy. Amen. Deliver us from this present evil world. Yes, and there was another hand over here. Show compassion. He was moved with compassion. His bowels just moved in him. Yes, Billy. To do the will of the Father. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, the work that I do, says the Lord Jesus, shall ye do also. Let's examine our occupation. Am I a full-time Christian worker who also has a job and has a family to raise? Or am I a full-time employee with a job and a family to raise, and then every now and then we do a little Christian work? And I don't mean to condemn anyone here this morning, but I do say this though, if my priorities need realignment, then let that be so. Let there be Holy Ghost conviction upon my own heart as well as yours, if it's that way. But I think one of the things that helps us is that we don't separate our secular life, if you want to call it that, and our social life from our Christian life. Because while you walk about the way, while you are at your job, while you lie down, while you stand up, while you go to town, I'm a Christian. And my life should display that. So I'm a full-time Christian. And I'm a full-time husband. And I'm a full-time father. And I have a part-time job. And I have a full-time job to do the will of God. The works that I do, shall ye do also. And works, it's pretty simple. The deeds that I do. That's what it means. The deeds that I do. Let's not spiritualize it into something else, you know, and make it, you know. But the deeds that I do, ye shall do also. These are the marks of a Christian. One who's seeking the lost. One who has compassion to the down and outers. One who bears about. I don't know where the oil is. One who bears about. A horn of oil. And ministers the oil of the Lord Jesus, the anointing of the Lord Jesus, binds up the wounds like that robber that was beaten and left for dead. And along comes a Samaritan. I wonder why it was a Samaritan and not a Jew. But Jesus said, along came a Samaritan. And he poured in oil and wine and bound up his wounds. You know, sometimes as I look back over my life, my Christian life, you know, sometimes I just am ashamed that what I first thought was real spiritual life and power, you know, was to just be able to maybe really shout or really, you know, see people smitten under conviction and, you know, show people their sins, their faults, condemn them. But you know, it doesn't take a very spiritual man to see other people's faults and to condemn them. But it takes, ye which are spiritual, when you see another man overtaken in a fault, restore such an one. pour in some oil to soothe his hurting soul. Amen? Many are sitting condemned. The devil has already condemned him. They don't need me to come and condemn him. They need me to come and bring a word of good news and of graciousness and kindness. The works that I do, shall ye do also. And you know, there's no talking back. The disciples are quiet. I believe there's a holy hush. They're grasping it. Jesus is saying it over and over. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to my Father. I'm giving you a charge. I'm giving you a mandate, a holy mandate. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Greater works shall he do. Well, let me ask you this morning. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Did the apostles do a similar work? Or as great a work? Peter, with Dorcas there in the upper room, they were preparing for a burial. And Peter came. And he raised Dorcas to life again. What's greater than raising the dead? Jesus healed the sick. Peter healed the sick. Paul healed the sick. In fact, Peter was so full of the healing power and grace of God that people would bring out handkerchiefs and just the shadow of him passing by, falling over that handkerchief, they'd take the handkerchief back to the sick person and the person was healed. Am I right in that? Is that right? Is that biblically correct? So the works that I do shall ye do also. They did. They did. And I have to confess in my own heart, you know, I sometimes wonder, Lord, in our day, you said you give gifts to the church, the gift of healing, of miracles. Lord, is it I? Why is it that we don't see more of the supernatural, of the evidence of our Almighty God? No man could do these things. This is the Lord. And we thank God for what we've seen. And we praise Him. But I trust your heart with mine longs for the glory of the Father, for the revelation of God to be manifest. And not just in physical healings. Bodies will die again and become sick. Greater works. Oh, when I think of the greater works. Yes, greater works shall ye do. Not necessarily greater miracles, but greater in the expansion of the gospel and greater in the quantity of being spread abroad. Because Jesus is going to His Father and now He's sending the comfort of the Holy Ghost to abide upon the believers. And the believers went everywhere preaching Christ. Even already in Acts where the 3,000 got saved and Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, preached the gospel and 3,000 got saved. Greater works than these shall ye do. The expansion of the gospel. My, I think, you know, if Jesus would have stayed here in bodily form in person, He could only be in one place at one time. Right? He limited Himself to a body. He partook of the same flesh and blood. And He was in a body. But He said, it is expedient for you that I go. Because then the Comforter will come. And now Jesus is everywhere. He's in North Korea. He's in China. He's in Leola. He's in Africa. He's in Lebanon. He's everywhere. Where His body, the church, where His believers, where His sanctified vessels are, there He dwells in the midst. And so there's a greater work being done. Greater works than these shall ye do. He can be in that little secret Bible study at 1 a.m. in the morning. Though the bishops have said it's not lawful to have Bible study, He is there. Though the communist leader has said we will not have this holy book in our land, He is there. Greater works. The expansion of the gospel to all nations and all kindreds and people. Oh, that's wonderful good news. Amen. Greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. Their hearts are tuned in. They're hanging on to every word. They're there in that upper room, and it's just Jesus and the 12. Or maybe by now, it's the 11. Judas has already gone out. Is that right? I think we're at that point in our scriptures. So it's Jesus and the faithful 11. And He's giving them some wonderful, powerful last words. Verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Imagine the soothing balm of those words upon their ears. Jesus, we've always relied on You. You're our source. You're our life. If You go away and leave us, what are we going to do? Jesus said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Can't you see them just leaning forward, holding fast to every word? And it begins to dawn on their hearts. What He's saying? You mean we can ask in Your name, Lord Jesus? You mean anything, Lord? Anything. That's what He said. I thought maybe for another method of this study would be to find the other scriptures in Jesus' last words, His last discourse with His disciples, is to also find where this subject is spoken of throughout the remainder of their time together. So we'll do that. We'll look at some of the other places where this is found. Turn with me to John 15:7, just across the page in my Bible. And let's look at this subject about asking. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. John 15 and verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, that it may be done unto you. John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. Let's jump down to let's go over to chapter 16 and verse 23. Are you with me? Chapter 16, verse 23 of John. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Again, he says in verse 26, same chapter, at that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Jesus emphasized and re-emphasized that they should ask. Now this word ask is very profound. Listen real careful. The Greek meaning of ask is ask. Isn't that really profound? It's so simple that at times I think we miss it. And like John shared this morning in his devotional, we don't have because we don't ask. Jesus told his disciples there in that last discourse with them, as he was just sharing his heart with them, giving them clear instruction for how they should live and walk after he's gone. He said, you shall ask. You shall ask. In my name. Ask. It's just very simple. We make requests. I think the clearest illustration is where Jesus said, you know, if one of your children comes to a father and asks for something that they really need, they're hungry. Do your children ever get hungry? Sometimes I think our children are always hungry. God bless my children. I don't mean to humble you there or shame you. But you know, children, as they're growing, they need a lot of nourishment. And Christians, as we're growing, we need a lot of nourishment too, don't we? You know, it's only a sick person that isn't hungry and doesn't ask for food. Jesus said, if a father gives good gifts to his son, if he gives him an egg, you know, he won't give him a scorpion, you know? How much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask? Disciples, you're going to feel very alone at times. I'm going to leave you. You're going to be put into hard places where you don't know what to do. Anybody identify with that? I want to tell you something, disciples. You have an avenue. You have an open invitation to ask of your Father whatsoever you need. Ask. And ask in the name of Jesus. The name that is above every other name. The name of Jesus which has all power and authority given unto Him. Ask in His name. Jesus said, ask in my name. And all the resource of heaven is available in my name to meet your need. A friend comes at midnight, you have nothing to set before him. Ask of my Father. You have a pestilent, some troublesome foe against you? Ask. Because God is not like an unjust judge. He will avenge you speedily, it says, though He bear long with them. You know, I don't know. You know, God, He just keeps us dependent upon Him and hanging on Him. When Elisha prayed the fire down on Mount Carmel, there was one asking the Father, right? One asking. He built up the altar, and there was one prayer to God. Lord, let it be known today that You are God. You know? And he just humbly, full of faith, prayed, and the fire fell. When it was time to send the rain, how many times did he ask and pray and send his servant to go look to see if there's a cloud? How many times?
Seven.
I don't figure God out. I don't understand it all. But one thing I see very clearly in the demonstration before all of the people, he mocked the Baal worshippers and said, cry louder. Maybe your God can't hear very good. And they did. They worked themselves all up into a frenzy, crying louder, longer, harder. Oh, Baal, hear us. But our God says, ask. Just ask like a child would ask of their father. No need to work yourself up in a frenzy. No need to try to work up some sort of faith. Just trust Me and ask. And yet at the same time, you know, I don't want to diminish this thing down, because we do have burdens at times that are groanings that cannot even be uttered. And then He sends the Spirit to help us, because the Spirit knoweth the mind of God, and He knows our own heart, and He knows what we need. But how do you respond to a whining, begging child who comes asking? Oftentimes they don't get their need met, do they? Because you need to come and ask in a right way. Maybe sometimes we don't get what we're asking for because we're coming whining and our hearts are full of unbelief. But I'm not diminishing prayer. I said this is dangerous ground to almost even share this, because Jesus prayed all night. There is something like persisting in prayer and prevailing in prayer. But it's not to twist God's arm, and it's not to work ourselves up into some frenzy. It's not by how loud I pray, but in faith, believing, trusting, oh my Father, I need You. Whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do. Why? Oh, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, just like our brother Tim Wenger shared this morning about that when that was born blind, you know. It's not because of sin in the parent or the child. It's that my Father may be glorified. And how many times God is glorified and His name is exalted when He shows Himself strong in answering prayer. Well, this asking does have a condition, Brother John Mark, as you shared. And we're going to look very quickly at some of these other verses. 15:7 of John. Abide in Me, and My words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. So it's in an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. It's in abiding with Him and His Word abiding in us. And we love His Word. And we embrace His Word. We love His commandments. They're not grievous. We delight in them. We delight in them as a man who finds great spoil. And they're such a blessing to us. Yes. If ye abide in Christ, and His words abide in us, ye shall ask what ye will in Me, in you, personally. And it shall be done unto you. No qualification further. Right? That's it. There it is. There's the qualification. Abiding in Christ, His Word abiding in us. And ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. Not only abiding in Christ, but He says, I have chosen you, 15:16 of John, and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. John 16:23, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask my Father in my name, I will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. This is something new. This is a new door of blessing and grace and power opened up. In the name of Jesus, you shall ask. Disciples, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. I've been in your midst. I have ministered to the needs of the people. I have provided for all your needs. But I am going away. And now you shall ask in my name. And ye shall receive that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. You know, I can just imagine, you know, and look at this. Jesus brought this up in that short discourse 5 times. He'd bring it up. Then he'd sort of let it go on to speak some other things. Then he'd come back to it, bring it up again, bring it up in another context. And then he'd go on and speak about some other things. Then he'd come back again, bring it up again. Ask. Ask in my name. I truly believe and confess I am poorer in Christ Jesus than what I ought to be because of my lack of asking. I'll admit that. I want to learn. I want to grow in my dependency as a child upon the Lord Jesus so that I may ask more often. What is it that keeps us from asking? Quickly, help me out. What keeps us from asking? Independence. And another one. Self-confidence. Pride. Unbelief. Sin. Yes. Go ahead, young man in the back. What keeps us from asking? You had something? Somebody help me hear that. Oh, you forgot. You know what? That's a very good answer. Because I forgot. I was going to ask the Lord, but I forgot. My day got so busy, and things started crowding into my life, and I forgot. It's a good answer, young man. Yes, it is. Bless you for sharing that. The other thing is, too, I don't sense my need. Isn't that true also? Goes with independence, Brother Jeff. I'm independent. I'm self-sufficient. I don't sense my need. Oh, blessed is the people who sense their need. Because God, He pours on blessing to the needy. But if we don't need Him, is He going to minister to us what we need? I'm so blessed though that God gives me far more than what I deserve or need. Because if everything would depend on my asking, I'd really be in poverty. But God's blessings flow. But I believe we stop the hand of God short so many times because we don't ask. In fact, I heard a testimony one time. Don't want to reveal anything that I shouldn't, but heard a testimony of a dear Christian friend who said, I'm a little afraid to ask. And you know, I can identify with that. I'm a little afraid to ask. Because what if I ask and I don't receive? Then I'll wish I'd never ask. Because I'll just be so tempted to discouragement then. And that can be very real. That can be real. I don't know if I have the courage and the faith to ask God for this one. This is a hard one. What if I ask? What if I hang all of my entire confidence and being on the Lord Jesus for this answer? and I ask and I don't receive. Well, I'd just like to say that certainly our enemy, that old liar, that thief, that robber, would want to make us think, why would you even bother asking? Because God won't do it for you anyway. Well, that's certainly true. But the other thing may be also that the answer we were expecting was not the best one for us. So God gave us something better. And He did answer. I just don't see it yet. In a couple of days, or in a couple of weeks, maybe even a year, I will look back and I will see the answer God gave. He answered. So let us ask in the name of Jesus, believing, abiding in His Word abiding in us. Ah, then we'll ask according to His will. If His Word's abiding in us, then we will ask and we shall receive and our joy will be full. You know that excitement? You know that blessing when you know God heard and answered your prayer? Doesn't it bring fullness of joy? Amen. I know all of us can identify with that. You know, those who've walked with the Lord Jesus, who have seen God answer prayer. And it just brings joy. And they run and tell somebody else, guess what? God answered my prayer. And it redounds to much thanksgiving and praise to God, and the whole congregation rejoices with you. Oh, praise the Lord. Ask. Ask for yourself. Do you have a need this morning? Ask for your spouse. Ask for your children. Ask for your brother. You see a brother sin a sin that is not unto death, you shall ask God for it and He will give him life. Ask for your brother. That sin that is not unto death. Rather than let it be turned out of the way and be lame, ask for your brother. That it may be healed. Ask for your sister. Ask for your boss. That burly one, you know, that surly one. Ask for him. Ask for your parents. Even little children can pray and ask for mom and dad. Amen. Prayers full of faith. We need bread. The house is empty. Mom says, well, we hope that somehow the Lord will provide and we'll get a little money. And the little child says, but Mom, you were just reading in the Bible how we can ask God if we're hungry. So the mother's heart is trembling a bit. The child says, why don't we ask God? The mother says, yes, we can ask God. Sure, let's do. We're going to ask for 2 loaves. Oh, my, that's a lot. Maybe we should just ask for 1. No, mother, 2. 2 loaves. The faith of a child. And they get down on their knees and they pray. And the child says a little prayer, full of faith, full of expectation. And okay, let's go get our bread. They go to the door, and there they are, 2 loaves of bread. That wasn't my child. That wasn't me. But there would be many, many, many accounts that will just glorify the Lord in so many areas of the faith of a child in asking. Ask in the name of Jesus. He holds all the resource. And it's all available from His hand. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my sayings, disciples. Keep those words that I have spoken to you. If you love me, keep my commandments. And to keep is to hide them deep in our heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But it's also very simple. How do I know that my son or my daughter is keeping my commandments? Tell me, how do I know? Somebody tell me. Yes. And how do I know if they're keeping my commandment? What do I see? The evidence. And what is that coming out of? The fruit? And what is the, what are they doing?
Obedience.
They're obeying me. To keep the commandments is to obey. We will look at this one yet. If you love me, keep my commandments. Obey my commandments. And the disciples are hanging on to every word. It's the Last Supper. There they sit, just Jesus and the 11 faithful. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now we're going to look at where else he brought up this subject in this discourse. Let us go to John 14, 21. And he gives us some beautiful further understanding. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he shall be loved, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. So here we have it, very simply, all wrapped up together. That when we love God, we keep his commandments. And God reveals himself to us in greater measure and in more fullness and blessing as we love him and keep his words and keep his commandments. He said, we will manifest, my Father and I, we will come and we'll manifest myself to him. And Judas had a question, how is it that this can be so intimate and so close relationship and such a manifestation? Well, he said, it's pretty simple, disciples, because the world and a man who does not love me, he will not keep my sayings. Does it seem sometimes like God is far away? Does it seem like the relationship is a bit strained and distant? Maybe this is it right here. Because our love for God is directly reflected in whether or not we obey Him. Keeping His commandments. Loving His Word. Keeping His Word. Keeping His sayings. You know, it's all tied up in obedience, isn't it? If I tell my wife I love her, but my actions and my words show different, she's gonna have to go by my actions, right? All the flowery words don't mean anything Like Jesus said, these people, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. See, a heart that is in tune with the Lord and loves the Lord and loves His Word will delight in His commandments and keep them. Do we keep them perfectly? Are the commands of Jesus like the Ten Commandments, like a law? No, I don't see it that way at all. There are the heart of the Father revealed unto us of the person of the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who delight in Him, they love His commandments and they're not grievous and they delight to keep them. And then we have communion and fellowship with our Father. He comes and makes His abode with us. It's beautiful. We could look at a few more here. John 15, it speaks again of this in John 15, verse 10. Jesus brings this back around. He brings this subject back around, just like the one we looked at earlier on asking. In John 15, 10, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." You see, it's all relationship. It's not a law over my head that tells me I have to do this, but it's relationship. It's a love relationship. Love is the highest motivation to keep the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep His commandments, because we love Him. Isn't that what we want from our children? Not that they just obey by law and by command, but that there's a love there. And you don't have to be giving the commandments over and over. They're in their heart because they want to please their Father. And that's how it should be with us. The words of our Lord Jesus, they're a delight to us. We savor them. They're in our heart. And we want to please our Heavenly Father. Well, disciples and all Christians down through the generations ever since, if you want to walk with God, if you want to abide in Christ, if you want to have that love relationship with Him, root out any heart or spirit of rebellion against the commands of Christ. Because when there's that rising up within me that says no or I won't, then expect a desert experience to just walk alone. No, Lord. Can that even be? No, Lord. I've had to wrestle through some of those things. Yeah. Difficult things at times. God brings us under His chastening rod because He loves us, to bring us back to where we say, "Yes, Lord." He that loveth me, He it is that keepeth my commandments, and He shall be loved of my Father, and we will come and make our abode with Him. Last words of Jesus to His disciples. Quick review. "The works that I do, shall ye do also." I must be about my Father's business. How about you? Oh, let us get busy about our Father's business and do the works that Christ Jesus has done. Reaching out to the down and outers, those that are discouraged, those that are bound up in sin. Those that are brokenhearted, those that are hurting. Those that are blind, those that are captive. ask. May our prayer life be vitalized with these words of our Lord Jesus. Ask. Ask anything in my name. Ask that you might receive, that your joy may be full. Love me with all your heart and show it by your obedience. And my Father will come and dwell with you. Make my abode with you. The captain of our salvation has given us his word. Let's obey him and let's yield the good fruit of that obedience. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Aaron, for sharing your pastor's heart. Amen. To think of the passage here in John 15, it says, "If my words abide in you." You know, tying together with the opening this morning, those exceeding great and precious promises. You know, it appears to me like in that abiding relationship, we can have, in essence, an abiding relationship with Christ, but it goes much deeper in the sense of our prayers being heard when His Word abides in us. And remember that faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word. And that's what I see, is the Word of God quickens us to faith in believing prayer as we ask for, you know, various things that we need for our own lives or that for others. So let's let those exceeding great and precious promises be a part of us by taking in His Word and our hearts being quickened to faith as we ask in prayer. Okay, I'd just like to open it up here. Comments, testimonies, maybe answers to prayer that you've had in your life or any other tenets of the message here that you want to share on. Let's keep this part of the service usually to comments and testimonies, and let the prayer request go till toward the end. Can we do that? Just to keep it kind of focused here. Anyone care to share at this time? Slip your hand up.
Yes, as Aaron was talking about asking, I had to think. I just kept thinking about the time when I was maybe 15 years old, and our parents went somewhere for the evening, and we had the chores to do. So I guess I was feeding the cows and made a bad step, and the rest of the chores were, well, it was just, I don't know what I did to my ankle, but I was in a lot of pain for the rest of the evening, and sometimes felt myself blacking out from pain, and went to bed, and I was lying there trying to make myself comfortable and just couldn't get to sleep, and I just started to think that I'm just going to be awake all night, and it just hit me that I'll probably end up in bed a few days and maybe be on crutches a few weeks, and it just brought me to a point of sort of a desperate, I just cried out to God, and I just really thought if that's really what God wants, and the next thing I knew, I woke up in the morning and there was no pain. I stood up and walked, and everything was gone. I don't know what I had done to my leg, but it was, I never found anything out of it since.
Praise the Lord. Same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies. It's His promise. Timothy?
Yeah. I'm very blessed with looking at this subject of asking, and I had to think of the aspect of God being a good father, and like Aaron shared, sometimes we don't see exactly what we don't see the answer, we don't get what we ask for, it looks like, seems like to us. And at that time, it just, I don't know, for some reason it just reminded me of a particular day where I was probably 11 or 12 years old, and I asked my dad if I could go to the neighbors to some of the boys were going to be shooting clay pigeons over there. Just, you know, a fun time. And Dad wasn't exactly impressed with the idea, and he said he would rather not have me go. I was kind of quite disappointed. But you know, today as I look at that, that was a very good thing, and I'm thankful for that because I didn't need that in my life. And so it was a good thing, even though I didn't get what I asked for. He was looking out for my good.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. I think there's one over here. Sisters, feel free to share as well.
Yes, Brother Aaron, thank you for that faith-filled message. My heart did rejoice, even though I was challenged in many ways as I heard you share your heart with us this morning. I could relate to the testimony you gave or the illustration you gave of not asking because of wondering if I put all my hope, my trust, my understanding of God in this prayer and stake my life on it and He doesn't answer, then what? But as I have walked and as I have prayed and as I have poured out my heart before God, and sometimes answers don't come like you said, I've realized that God never does not answer a prayer. He always answers a prayer. And sometimes it's with a no, and sometimes you may not have expected that no or wanted that no. But that no is exactly what you need. So it helps to fill your heart with faith when you do pray, realizing God does hear this. God will answer it with what is best for me. I was thinking also of an illustration that, or a testimony that George Mueller said when he wrote his autobiography. He said, after having hundreds of profound miracles displayed before him and to others, he said, I don't only live this life because it's right, and I don't only live this life because it's the life that I have to live and it's the life that God has called me to live, but I live the life that I live, and I live the life of faith and prayer that I live because I want others to see and know that God delights into giving His children good gifts. And I was thinking of that this morning again, that, you know, as much as we don't ask, God is there in heaven looking down upon us saying, you know, ask my child. This is a joy of my heart to give you what you need. So thank you, brother.
Yeah. Do we have the mics? Paul?
Up here? Yeah, I was blessed too with this meditation on and thinking about prayer. And I was just sitting here thinking, and I thought, well, what if God did always answer every prayer that we pray and gave us exactly what we asked for? What would that do? What effect would that have? And I could just see us being using God and not really wanting a relationship with God, because I just get what I ask for. And if one of the things that came out so clearly in all those verses was that God wants a relationship with us.
Amen.
That's what He's really after. And so it seems like He's tied this great desire that we have for things and for answers to prayer, for blessings. He's tied that into relationship because that's what He wants us to have with Him. And then, so when the prayer is not answered the way we expected it to be, that's a call to relationship. Lord, what happened? Why didn't it? I get it. Not a call to give up, which is what too often that we do, but it's actually a call to relationship. So it just struck me in a new way, the excitement of that. Unanswered prayer is not a reason to despair of our relationship with God. He's calling us to come to Him. He wants that relationship, and He's allowed this disappointment or whatever it is to actually be a call to come near. And then as we become more and more one with Him, yes, our prayers will be answered more and more the way we think they're going to be answered, because we know His heart and we have that relationship. Amen.
I love that, Paul, knowing His heart, because like I think John quoted this morning, if any man know His will, we know that He heareth us. If we know that He hear us, then we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. And it comes down to really understanding and knowing the heart of God in this matter of prayer. Over here.
The past years, I labored overseas. This aspect of asking really became clear to me, and how we need to ask. God wants us to ask. And for me, it was just the opportunity to be able to share for Him. I thought that, well, He would give that opportunity because that's what He wants us to do. But so many times I found I had to ask Him for it, for another opportunity. And I think the reason why is just because if we ask, then we know that it's from Him. Mm-hmm. If He just gives it to us, sometimes we don't even think about who it's from.
Right, that's good. That's good. Do we have anyone else with the mic yet?
George. I just want to say thank you to Brother Aaron for that message. I had to think of the 10 leopards. They asked to be healed, but one came back and said thank you. And it just, you know, that spoke to my heart. I read that this morning. And I've asked different times for different things. But you know what? I am thankful that God is a healing God. And, you know, my goal is to be more thankful to all those prayers that He has answered.
Amen. Okay, I think we'll have one more. Or does someone have the mic back here? Go ahead. Okay, go ahead. After that, Ben, you can also.
Yeah, just I want to share how the Lord was just working in my life this morning. When I came in, I knew I was had been a little dry, and I kind of knew why. And then the song, "Neither Do I Condemn Thee, Go and Sin No More," and I knew what the Lord was saying. He was saying, "Well, you know, this is why, because you spent too much time on this, and then you didn't get so much time in the Word, even though I'd been really trying to, you know, arrange things to spend more time in the Word." Just the whole service was just geared to what I needed, and I just want to thank God for it. Was something that I had asked for, and that He was showing me. And then there's another thing. I know some of you may have seen it. It was an answer to prayer that actually came out on the bargain hotline. Somebody had an appliance for sale, and as usual, you know, somebody responded, and the sister that had the appliance for sale took time to say, well, this sister was the first one that responded, and she had just told her children the week before to pray for one of these. And, you know, we serve a good God, and it was just an encouragement and a blessing that sister took the time to just say that and to pass on the results. Okay, well, you know, this is an encouragement to these children and to the rest of us. Thank you.
And everybody talking about asking, and sitting here thinking, when are we going to hear about thanking the Lord for all? And Brother brought it up, and I said, well, I just can't help it anymore. I'm going to have to stand up and tell the congregation. Y'all know we prayed for a couple weeks ago for a situation there with getting together with the youth group and us going to the mountains and all that. So I just couldn't help but share that our prayers were answered, and we need to thank the Lord for that. We have thanked the Lord every day for answered prayers. Everything went very well with the youth group. We had a lot of touching hearts it was just great. And then last weekend at the mountains with the boys, everything was just wonderful. So I want to just tell the congregation, let's thank the Lord for answering the prayers. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. We rejoice with you, Brother Ben.
Yes.
Sadie. Amen. Well, let's remember the other two, you know, areas that Aaron touched on is the keeping of his commandments. And also the, you know, we all like to receive from the Lord in when we ask through prayer. But let's remember that part of the message as well. And I think of how Paul says, Aaron mentioned on sharing of the gospel, you know, Paul said, I'm a debtor both to the Greek and to the Jew, basically to all men. And let's be faithful in those things that God has spoken to our hearts here this morning.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.